The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
40 Saturday, 42 Sunday.
Vicky's in the Applegate. Vicky, you have been snowed in, what, for 4.5 days now?
Okay. I have the best neighbors out here. My neighbor across the street came over with this tractor and cleared my driveway because we couldn't even get out.
Wow.
I mean, I haven't been able to move my car since Sunday. So,
but you're a little bit concerned about, you're not really necessarily a fan of the snowplows. I mean, you like the snowplows, but you must be talking about the county snowplows coming by, right?
Yes. And my issue with the snowplows, and I'm actually going to start a petition. I'm going to go to all my neighbors. They come by, and every time we have an event like this, they scrape the roads, which we appreciate, although they haven't really been out here too much on Sterling Creek. But they make big berms in our driveways. So if we had an emergency, people can't get in, we can't get out.
Well, I don't know if there's any way they can't make a big berm. If you're going to push it off the road, it's got to go someplace. It's going to go through your driveway, and then you have to clear your driveway, right?
Well, the issue I have, Bill, is that they take out our mailboxes every year. Some get destroyed. Some you can't even find until the snow melts.
Oh.
And the berms, I see them lift their blades, you know, sometimes. So I think they should be required to lift their blade for, like, however wide your driveway is, which is, what, 6 feet, so that you can get in and out.
I don't know if that's practical when you're sitting there plowing miles and miles and miles. I don't know. Maybe I could hear from a plow truck driver, and then maybe they can let me know if that's something that could work or not. It'd be ideal. But living out in the county in rural area is never an ideal situation when it comes to the road plow thing. So I can understand your irritation. I just don't know if there's a way to fix that physically. I could be wrong. Crazy Gene, it may not matter anyway, right? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
What do you want us imagining today for Friday? It's not Conspiracy Theory Thursday, but give me a good one.
Well, I was just thinking, which is a bad thing to do, that what if God is in control of all this bad thing that's happening? Maybe he's trying to get the children who are out in the playground playing, and it's time to come home for dinner.
Okay. In other words, don't sweat the Super Bowl this weekend.
Yeah, he's going to make it as bad as he can just to drive us away from where we've just been so long.
All right. It could be. I'll think about that. I'll take it under advisement, Crazy Gene. Let me go to Wild Salmon. Hello, Steve. How you doing? Morning.
I'm doing all right. Hey, I heard you say that you're having trouble coming down from the transmitter site.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went up on Jacksonville Hill yesterday because I needed to switch a transmitter over, because the generator that we had blew its guts out. Then I'm going to have to do some repairs on it. So, and the generator only works on one particular transmitter. I don't want to get into the weeds on this one. But what happened is that it was about 10 inches up on top, and I'm just on a stock 4Runner. But getting up is not too bad. Coming down is usually the scariest part about that. But fortunately, the snow had not been driven on. Nobody had been driving up there, I guess. So even the people that live, they hadn't plowed it out yet. So it made it easier in some respects, but still, it's the coming down that's always the white knuckle part.
Well, it's anti-lock brakes that screws you up, because as soon as one wheel slips, then your brakes quit working. I had a friend who lived up Mountain Street in Ashland, and he got a new Jeep, and he would come down that hill, and he would always run out into Siskiyou Boulevard because the brakes didn't work, and he kept taking it to the dealership, and they kept checking stuff, but Mountain Street was just an ice rink, and the anti-lock brakes wouldn't let your brakes work. Well, the same thing happens when you're four-wheel driving, and if you want to fix that, take one of the wires that comes from the encoder on the wheels that makes the anti-lock brakes work.
Yeah.
Cut that and run it to a switch on your dashboard where you can turn that on and off, and then you'll have brakes and you can stop.
Huh. All right. So be able to. Now, I know I'm sure it's probably perfectly illegal, you know, to do something like that.
Probably.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. But you know, that's an interesting take on that. Normally, the way that I have dealt with it, though, is I have, it's a four-wheel drive, and I put it in four-wheel drive lock, where both the front and the rears are locked together, and that seems to eliminate some of that a little bit, you know, because they're all sort of in sync. All four wheels are in sync.
But the serious four-wheel drivers all do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the anti-lock brakes will screw you up more than anything. And then if you are going downhill and you get caught in a rut and you're heading someplace you don't want to go, the thing to do is the most non-obvious thing is to turn the wheels the way you want to go and hit the gas, and the front wheels will climb out of the rut.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then you're going faster, but you're not going over the side of a cliff.
Yeah, well, the best thing that I have in this particular place is that there was a rut on the side, but there's just a rut on the side that you can actually ride down. It was in much better shape doing that.
Yeah, well, serious four-wheel drivers do pretty crazy things, and the more crazier it is, the more fun it is when you're able to do that sort of stuff. So.
Yeah, well, anyway, I've learned a lot, and thank you. I don't know if I'm going to clip the wires to the anti-lock brakes, though, just saying. But
well,
thank you.
You just run it to a switch, Bill.
Yeah, I know. But, I don't want to tell my boss, I know that. What's that switch for?
Yeah.
Or you could turn off the anti-lock brakes. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, though, Steve. I like that. All right. Senator Noah Robinson will join me here in a couple of minutes here. We'll catch up with maybe a response to Senator Golden's talk from yesterday.
If your home computer has issues, call Tech Peers Bill Meyer.
State Senator Noah Robinson joins the program. Noah, it is great to have you back on. Welcome.
Well, great to be here. Thank you.
Hey, you know something, Senator? I don't know if you had a chance to listen yesterday when Senator Golden was on. Did you happen to catch that or catch a podcast or anything like that?
I did catch a podcast of it later, yes.
Okay. It's interesting. We talked a lot about the fire map. I know that you have submitted a bill to repeal Senate Bill 762. I don't know if it's going to get a hearing or not. It's a high bar, given that there's Democratic majority control of the legislative process. But did you catch that part at the end, kind of the philosophical side of it, in which Senator Golden talked about politicians that are, you know, saying that we're going to be able to fix this or are lying to you? I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but, you know, your insurance is going to go up, your fire insurance is going to go up, property taxes are going to go up, your cost of everything is just going to go up. And any politician that claims that that they can really fix this or take it back 5-10 years is lying to you. I almost thought that was a bit of a straw man argument, because I don't think anyone's arguing that we're going to be able to roll back costs to 5-10 years ago, but I wonder if that was just politics. But but he says, you know, we've run out of kicking the can down the road, and I didn't get a chance to talk with him about it, but I couldn't help but think, yeah, you're the guys that have been kicking this can for a lot of times, but
yeah, that's right. Our forest management policies have been poor for years. When we were actually logging the forests were managed pretty well, and we didn't have these problems.
Mm-hmm.
There's been no major difference except poor management. And what can I say? Yes, they've been kicking it down the road, but the Democrats have been in charge for 20 years.
All right. And I guess the point being, though, is there any realization within the Democratic control grid there that everything they're doing is increasing the cost, and we're told that, though, well, you're stupid to even think that you shouldn't be paying these increased costs. Is that the way it's kind of read there, or is it the country mice at war with the city mice? And, you know, the city mice just have no clue on how it works here.
Well, I think it's a bit of both. I think they're in a bubble. They actually believe a lot of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very true. The legislature is controlled by legislatures from the cities, Democrats from the cities for the most part, and they don't understand the rural way of life. They don't understand what concerns people out here. We have, I'm sorry, we have thousands of, probably tens of thousands of landowners that are now just worried. They wake up every morning worried what's going to happen to their property. This is the first step. They've been asked to do all sorts of things. Their insurance rates are going up. The government wants to intrude on their land. They don't know what's coming next. There are more bills in the hopper to restrict building on private land. And it's a huge worry for people. So the first step we can do is roll back 762. And then we look at what the best way is to fight fire and keep these problems down. They can be solved. I don't buy the idea that everything's going to be terrible from now on. We can have a wonderful society. We just don't. We just need different ideas.
And I guess the other aspect of it is that there is a risk to living on the rural lands, and I think most people have more or less accepted that if you're going to live there. Is that fair?
That's exactly right. And we live here because I live in a rural area. We do it because we enjoy it. We like it. It's harder work in many ways. You're on your own in some ways. And yes, there are additional risks, but the people living there know those risks and they are quite willing to accept them.
I think one of the biggest intrusions on Senate Bill 762 is that it has essentially taken everybody who may be vigorous and with it. But, you know, I think of all of these retirees and elderly people who live on a lot of these rural lands. They've had their homestead for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, you're being told, well, you have to hire lawyers, or you better get a land use planner on you. Oh, you better do an appeal. You better do all this kind of stuff. And there's a part of me that said that, you know, wait a minute. All of a sudden, you're just imposing these costs and intrusions on us. And under the guise of wildfire, you know, hardening our properties to let the federal government burn through our properties, we're supposed to just all of a sudden hop to the state government. Do they grasp that yet?
I don't know. I think this has raised the issue of some. So they might be worrying about it a little bit. But I'm flooded with emails from people. I've got landowners that tell that, you know, that their parents left them this land. They want to leave it to their children. They're now afraid they won't be able to. That they're going to lose it. It's what they've done to the security of people. What their fear of the government is just sky high. And they don't know what's going to happen next. And the only thing you can do is back off of this and say, sorry, we were wrong. And I understand Golden is realizing at this point that these maps aren't going to work.
Okay, well, he realized, I think you're right. I think he realizes that the map isn't going to work, though. But are they going to realize the map doesn't work to the point where you just need to gut it and start again? Or maybe
maybe just leave it be? That's right. I think the best solution is just to eliminate it. And then he's talking about sensors to look for fires. I mean, nobody's going to oppose that. I want to look at that more. Any way we can detect these fires early and put them out as quickly as possible will improve, will lower costs for fighting fires and improve everybody's lives. But that sort of thing doesn't need a huge bill with all sorts of intrusions on it. That we can easily get through the legislature. That won't be a problem. But I think 762 and the fire maps need to be completely rolled back so we can start fresh. And I don't know whether, I mean, the insurance rates are probably not going to just go right down once you scared them. There's this argument that insurance rates were going up anyway, and of course it's true.
Because the claims have been going up. We have to be, you know, realistic about this.
Of course they have.
You know, and I've even been reading articles that, and I don't even know what the state could or should do about something like this, Senator. But I was reading a Substack that was talking about and opining that the West, because of the lousy management that we've been enduring for a lot of years, may essentially be uninsurable. The West Coast of the United States or the Western states where we have most of these you know, they used to be kind of managed through logging. It was imperfect, right? You know, it was, but at least there were always people in there. Roads were built, and there were people that were always watching it. And plus, you know, there was some monetary return to the counties and the states from the logging going on the federal lands. Well, that's been gone for the most part for a long, long time, and now it is just an expense. And, you know, now we're told that you just have to burn it all for landscape management. I mean, this is where we find ourselves right now, and how can you insure against something like that, against those kind of policies?
Well, it definitely raises cost. But I would say that there's no question that when you put out a wildfire map and say that the homes that are in these high-risk areas are going to have more expenses rebuilding, there's questions about whether they will be able to rebuild because we don't know what's coming down the pike. Mm-hmm. When you do that to the insurance companies, they also look and say, wait a second, if we do have a claim, it's going to be a lot higher. So there's no question that it did raise those rates. But to your point about forest management, if we could get back in the woods, there would again be a profit incentive in keeping the woods nice, and we would be much better off.
But that is a federal issue that has no support among the U.S. senators on the West Coast. That would be part of the challenge of dealing forward. You know, the whole idea is that we're just going to keep throwing grant string funding into Loma Katsi and other collaboratives to burn a few acres here and there, which is not going to take care of the major problem, I don't think, Senator.
That's exactly right. When you have a plan to do something and it's only going to nibble around the edges, do a little bit here and there, you have to look at the problem and what it's going to cost. And it's very difficult once you take everyone out of the woods.
Mm-hmm. What is the overall tenor in the state legislature in the Senate caucus towards Senate Bill 762? Is there a chance this could it get a hearing to repeal it? You know, your bill that you submitted.
I haven't had a hearing yet. I don't know whether we'll get one. As far as the Republican caucus, I don't know anybody that doesn't want it repealed. I can't speak for everybody, but mm-hmm. obviously this is something that common sense people realize needs to be done. I think though in the House we probably have a similar situation, and if we could just get the bill forward and start talking about what this has actually done to people in rural communities, maybe we could get the Democrats to realize that this wasn't the way to go about it.
Do you know if Senate Bill 79 has broad support?
Senate Bill 79, yes. That's another one. They want to shut off building on farmland and so forth. This is a direct attack on family farms and other people that would just like to live out in the rural areas.
Mm-hmm. Is any of this needed? And if there is anything needed in either of these bills, which it is Senate Bill 762 or 79, what do you think would be most appropriate to save if you had a magic wand here, Senator?
Well, I don't think the land use is needed at all. Remember that this is very unique to Oregon. Senate Bill 100 way back started this stuff. Other states don't have a problem. You know, they talk about high-value farmland. Well, Iowa is full of high-value farmland. So is the Midwest, other states in the Midwest. They just don't get cluttered up with homes. It doesn't take that much land area to build homes. So I guess if you're supporting big agricultural companies that want everything bare in large swaths, and you're worrying about, you know, little houses being built here and there, I don't know where this is coming from, but I don't think it is needed at all.
It seems though that Senator Golden and people of his ilk tend to look at rural homes as something putting a strain on the infrastructure because there is then demand for services. Is there a case to be made that is an issue at times?
I don't think that's an issue, because in rural areas, when you live on a farm, you don't expect to be connected to the mainline water systems or sewer systems. You have your old well, that's mm-hmm. the tank. You would like to have a little police protection, which isn't that expensive to have a officer patrolling. This has been a problem in some areas when they're really strapped with funds.
Hey, it's been a problem in Joe County. We know that. Sheriff's patrols.
It's definitely been a problem. But and so the citizens in the county would like to fix that problem. Other than that, in terms of security, the people in farms are on their own. They know they mm-hmm. like the lifestyle. They like the fact that they're going to cut firewood every year. That they just live that way. So it's a way of life, and I think it really is a problem, because I think the Democrats don't understand it because they don't live that way. They live in cities, and they think everybody else should. Assign motivations to any individual.
Well, you know, the thing is, I did talk to Senator Golden. I mentioned sustainable development. That really is, whether you want to call it climate-friendly, equitable communities, like the governor's, former governor's executive order here from a couple of years ago, whether you call it sustainable development, Agenda 21, or a climate-friendly, equitable community, it really is the policy of the state of Oregon. Now, how can Senate Bill 762 or 79, how can it not be connected with that kind of look at the world? I mean, am I wrong, you know, to assume this? And, you know, Senator Golden disagrees with me on this kind of stuff.
That's right. No, you're not wrong. It fits the agenda. You can't, for any particular senator, so Golden supports 79, mm-hmm. supports 762. Look at 79, for example. I can't tell you what his motivations are, but there are certainly people around him that would like to move people out of farms and put them in the cities. And it's the agenda of a lot of these big environmental groups. This is no secret.
So you end up using the risk of fire, which is there. It's a real risk. No one's doubting that. We see it happen every summer for the most part someplace. But you, under the guise of that, you push the greater agenda,
That's right. And so, I mean, I can't tell you what Golda's motivations are, but there's no question that people that are pushing these bills, people around him, are saying that they would like to do that. And so, no, it is part of the whole state agenda, and it's very bad. There's the climate change issue, which, you know, we oppose that scientifically. We looked at it carefully. Mm-hmm. This is not a problem. But they actually believe it up here. They're directing state policies that way. We shut down a coal-fired plant in Boardman that was producing a few years ago. That was producing huge amounts of electricity, and now they're running around wondering why electric rates have gone up. And so living has become more and more unaffordable because of state policies that promote things that are totally unnecessary.
Yeah, but if the power is more expensive, it's greedy corporations, right?
That's exactly right. But, sorry, okay. The people get mad at the PUC board. And I, what the margins are, I'm actually looking into.
I think it's about 10%. I think it's normally about a 10% profit margin that most of the utilities are guaranteed, something in that neighborhood, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's 10%. We can argue what it should be because, of course, this is a sort of a monopoly. That's why there's a PUC board.
Yeah.
But you have to buy the electricity. You have to buy it. You do. So if electricity costs go up, they have to pass on to the consumers. All costs eventually get passed on down to the consumers. That's just the way it is.
And when the state of Oregon also tells you that you should be concentrating more, not on hardening the grid or making your lines safe earlier, instead you're supposed to be building windmills and solar cells, right? And then they do, and then we have wildfires. And okay, you nasty people, you nasty power companies. Oh, man.
That's exactly right.
Heads they win, tails we lose here. I got to tell you, I don't know. What do you think is going to be next in this argument, in this battle, besides the fact that there is, by the way, I wanted to remind folks that there is going to be a workshop at Republican headquarters in Josephine County across from the courthouse tomorrow, 10 till 4, in which they'll be working on the Senate Bill 762 wildfire map. I guess people that are looking for appeals and such. Are you going to drop in on that, or do you know? I'm just curious.
I was there last week, and I will, if I can, I will.
Okay. All right.
This is not fair. You realize that while we debated up here at the legislature what's going to happen, down in Josephine County and in other counties, real people on their property are trying to figure out what to do, and they're distracted from their other work. They're hiring lawyers. It's just wrong to impose just the worry and burdens, even if we're going to fix it all in 2 months.
Mm-hmm. All right. State Senator Loa Robinson, best of luck on getting your repeal bill, a hearing, and maybe a vote. I'll tell you, it's going to be a high lift. We understand that one, but we appreciate the fight. Thanks for being on, okay? Take care.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. I really enjoy it.
State Senator Noah Robinson, it is 735 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Price of gold, I haven't checked it this morning, but it's been hovering in that 2850, 2860 deal. It was hit 2870 the other day, and it is... It is more or less predicting lack of faith in governments and the ability to get control of the currency. Dollar has slipped a little bit, but I think most of what we've seen in the increase on it has not been about the inflation play, but really war play, disorder play, you know, those sort of things. And also central banks are buying gold and they're adding it to their assets because they want some real stuff, not just necessarily paper promises. And that's something that we can do, too. May not be a bad idea if you haven't added any gold or silver to your portfolio. Maybe talk to the folks at J. Austin & Company, Gold and Silver Buyers. Been a big sponsor of my show ever since the beginning, I would say, back in the early 2000s. And they're good people. They're the type of people that you can go in there and you can talk about the kind of subjects that we discuss here every day. And they're going to get right in there with it. And I think you'll like the thinking there. I also think you'll like the inventory and getting some stacking going on, or if you're looking to sell at this point because you need to liquidate for some other issues, that's perfectly fine too. Either way, they're here to help you. And it's Jay Austin at 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. That's what it was once again. And 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Call 482-3715, fortunereserve.com. If you're getting ready for a winter road trip,
you're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
739, taking your calls at 770-5633. Before we break for news, Ron in Grants Pass, you actually have a good suggestion here on the Senate Bill 762 appeal letters that were sent out, or at least the letters coming from the ODF. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that they have a deadline. I didn't get my letter until 7 days after it was certifiably mailed from Salem. So I lost 10% of my time. Secondly, they have a place where the hearing has to be. Is that hearing going to be locally? Is it going to be delayed because people cannot get things together? Why not have 6 months? Why not have a year? What's the hurry? Let's get down to the point that the people can afford if they have to. And then it's a lot of things.
What's the hurry? I think the idea is to implement it before the vast majority of people understand what's going on and rise up and take off their heads politically. I think that's really what's going on, don't you?
You're absolutely right. Plus the fact that it causes people consternation at home. They get into arguments. They have a lot of things that are affected outside of the actual issue.
Now, this is something, though, which would require some kind of a lawsuit. Some sort of legal action would need to be taken to force this, unless there was enough political will to get them to say, oh, yeah, why not a 6 month? Why not a 6 month? Because I know that there are people that are 80, 90 years old that own property out in places like this. And, you know, not a whole lot of money, land rich, cash poor, you know, that kind of thing. And then to tell them all of a sudden you're going to be hiring lawyers at $300-$400 an hour to work up your appeal and do this and attend the hearing and all the rest of this, it's just total BS.
And the worst part about it is when you get all done fighting that battle, In 3 to 5 years, they're going to turn right around and say, well, now we're going to take another bite of your freedom and your property.
Uh-huh.
We're going to say you got to do this and you got to do that. And it's never ending. This is pure communism.
Yeah. At the very least, there should be a delay. But the whole thing is that it needs to be ceased and desisted. And of course, that's one of part of the process of this that I'm sure they'll be talking at tomorrow's Republican Party headquarters in Josephine County from 10 till 4. OK, Ron, thanks for that. And by the way, I've been told that there are some typos in those papers that were handed out earlier. I'm going to see if I can get an edit up with that from some of the people involved, that they can edit that cease and desist and change some of that stuff. And I'll talk with the people involved, okay? 7:42, if you're on hold, I will get right to you after news. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Don't settle for a typical store-bought cake. Serve a Nothing Bundt cake. Nothing Bundt cakes come in 10 irresistible flavors, plus seasonal favorites like banana pudding cake. Just like home-baked, love is our special ingredient, and you'll taste it in our delicious, innovative flavors and thoughtful designs that give your celebration, big or small, a special touch. From blissful Bundtlets to show-stopping decorated cakes, you'll find them at Nothing Bundt Cakes in the Northgate Marketplace across from Public Lands.
Do you owe the IRS back taxes you can't afford? Are your finances underwater? First Response Resolution in Eagle Point solves tax problems. Their CPA will represent you with the IRS and defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit firstresponseirs.com to schedule your free consultation.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A pretrial conference in a criminal case against former Asante nurse Danny Marie Schofield, who's alleged to have switched tap water for patients' fentanyl and faces 44 felony counts of second-degree assault, has been postponed for a fourth time. Schofield's been out on bond. Her counsel says they're hoping to reserve a potential trial date to begin in late October, but they're not yet able to commit to a date. Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield says Thursday's federal court ruling on President Trump's birthright citizenship executive order proves no president can rewrite the Constitution with a stroke of a pen. A federal judge in Seattle indefinitely blocked the order. Oregon's Department of Veteran Affairs said Thursday that organization wants to assure every Oregon veteran they'll be supported regardless of sexual orientation, race, or gender identity. The statement comes after President Trump's executive order barring transgender people from enlisting and serving openly in the military. Bill London, KMED.
Maybe you've had trouble with the insurance world, the insurance mafia, you know, and that's just the way it goes. It's more than just Senate Bill 762 and the wildfire, right? Maybe it's a doubling of your car insurance. I've known people that had 30-40%. I had a 30-40% hike a few months ago. And then I said, Steve, of course, I'm talking about Steve at Sky Park Insurance. Steve, what could you do about this? This is insane. You know, Got three cars. We don't drive many miles. We have good, clean driving records. What's the deal here? He went to work, found a different company, and so I ended up reducing my car insurance instead of having it increased. Now, I've been with that company 6 months. I just got it renewed, and it went up like $20. Okay, all right, I can handle that sort of stuff. But what I was facing before is just absolutely insane. But this is what Steve does. He called 261-5444, 261-5444, and have him do a quote. Carries all the lines, talks with many, many different companies, not just one. So there's a lot of shopping going on. 261-5444. If you need Medicare questions answered with the supplemental plans, the Advantage plan, and so much more, talk with Lynn Barton there, 499-0958. But either way, you can also find out more at skyparkins.com. Steve Yancey.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
The song Our House by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young only reached number 30 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1970, but it stands the test of time. If you have a very, very, very fine house, Millett Construction wants to help you keep it that way. So if the vase that you bought today looks a bit tilted on the table, it might be a sloping floor due to a shifting foundation. Call Millett Construction for an inspection and estimate to permanently correct the issue so your house stands the test of time, too. MillettConstruction.com.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone with Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on KMED.
746. Oh, man, that's a groove. I was going through my Ray Charles MP3s, and I just loved his stuff. Really did. We need to have him in bumper more often. Let me talk with David. Hello, David. How the heck you doing? Good to have you on here.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Happy Friday.
You wanted to weigh in on the conversation earlier when I was coming down from a transmitter site, and the coming down part was always the scary part because of, and it's true, anti-lock brakes, of course, cause a problem. Then you have Wild Sam and Steve that says, cut the wire to an anti-lock brake system and then put a switch on it. What do you say?
Well, you know, the anti-lock brakes, you know, the anti-lock inhibits the brake pedal. It stops the pressure from that wheel once the wheel's sliding. So, you know, there are the older systems, yeah, they could get you into trouble, but I mean, on these newer cars, really, if your tire's sliding, you're already out of control. So I don't know that ABS is I mean, I don't have any problems with ABS in the ice, but I'll tell you this, all the cars in the ditches, okay, that you see, so those, almost all of them have traction control that inhibits you from giving more throttle to get out of a slide. And so that's really the precarious thing about these newer vehicles with traction control is you can't – it cuts your throttle when you need it because it senses the slipping of the tire. And, yeah, I had a guy call me yesterday, and he just slid right off the road because he had the traction control feature. And he's able to just turn traction control off with a button because I think it was like a 2008 model or so, which still had that feature, and he was able to just drive out of the ditch. But
yeah, my PT Cruiser has that switch too. And when I was coming home the other day and trying to get into the driveway, I was having that problem because it was a bit of an incline, and then the traction control would sit there and just kill the throttle, and so you couldn't get up there. But if I killed the traction control, you just hit the switch on the dashboard. It was great. You know, I was able to get up there. Yeah, you spun your tires a little bit. It was no big deal, but it worked.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, it's definitely a bigger problem than the anti-lock. The anti-lock's a pretty good system, in my opinion. You know, they used to teach in driver's ed when I was in high school that you can pump your brakes to avoid the tires locking up. And nowadays, I don't think they teach people anything about, you know, actively driving your car in different kinds of terrain. But I wouldn't encourage people to disable their anti-lock brakes, you know, on modern cars.
Yeah, it was hard for me to – I kind of had to look askance at that one. Not a solution I plan on doing. But I'll agree with you. At driver's ed, when I was a kid, you were taught to pump, and also you had to feel and squeeze, and you had to pay attention to your vehicle. And now, I mean, I guess you don't need that to the same extent unless you're driving a vintage car. And, of course, I have one vintage car in my real vintage car, that van of mine. And you have to pay attention because, man, you get yourself in trouble. You know that. But on the other hand, you're always actively driving it, which makes it a lot more fun in my view.
Yeah, well, definitely, you know, we're becoming really disconnected from the technical use of the car. And so, like I say, that's really great if you don't want to, you know, maybe it has a safety benefit on paper. But I'm telling you, these cars in the ditches, they probably could have powered out of it if their gas pedal would have worked like an actual gas pedal and let them, you know, give it some acceleration instead of just cutting all the power and letting them slide down into the ditch. I'm certain that's the case in the vast majority of these cars in the ditches here.
Good point. Thanks for the call, David. Let me go to Brian Weldon. Hey, Brian, it's on.
Yeah, Bill, here, first of all, I live, right next to the road, and we call it, it's a flood zone. We're on low bank side,
yeah.
And so our insurance has gone up because of the flood zone, and we all remember what happened to the Rogue River at New Year's Day and the areas there between Christmas that it raised 16 feet. And so anyway, I'm paying more insurance for being in a flood zone, and now in this new fire map, we're in the moderate fire area. So going out to Senator Goldwyn's house in Ashland, he has brush, dead brush, trees right up against his home all over in the backyard, and he is in a green zone. Can he please explain to me how this map is accurate for those in Josephine County that are in high fire zones and moderates? And here you go up to Salem, and they're all in a green zone. What's with that?
Well, they're in a green zone because the computer model says they're in a green zone.
Yeah.
And honestly, they are probably in a less fire-prone area. We're living in forests. We're living around a lot of dead trees, a lot of dead tree forests. Where am I wrong about that here, Brian?
What about Senator Golden's backyard?
That's a backyard that's in the urban landscape.
Yeah.
No, I mean, sure. I mean, ideally, yeah, he should get it cleaned up. But that has nothing to do with his fire rating. The fire rating had to do with the computer modeling of the overall landscape that is going around there. That's all. I mean, it's like, yeah, you can call it hypocrisy, but he doesn't live in a high-prone area. Right?
Yeah, well, Alameda was less than a mile away from his backyard. So, I guess fire roared right through there. I just find it extremely
well. Remember, but remember that wasn't a wildfire, and I know he doesn't want to call it an arson fire. Although the city of Ashland Police Department thinks it's an arson fire, it's an open arson investigation. It was an arson fire set in a 60-mile-per-hour wind event, which would make just about any property fire prone in that neighborhood. Just saying.
Yep.
All right. Let me go to line one. Hi. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Bill. It's Matt.
Hey, Matt.
This one's off the beaten path here, way off the beaten path.
Okay.
I'm just reading a story from the National Post in regards to how much of that USAID money went to different organizations, and about $260 million went to Soros-backed organizations.
I can't say that's surprising. Doesn't surprise me in the least, sure. I mean, when it comes right down to it, those kind of NGOs and USAID – that's an example of our democracy. Our democracy meaning the communist infiltration of the United States. That's what they mean.
This one in particular caught my eye because it says the Institute previously came under fire for its role in Albania, where it was accused of facilitating judicial control by left-leaning government. And I'm thinking about Brazil here.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lula, who is the president of Brazil currently, was actually in their federal prison for all sorts of frauds and other kinds of things he committed while in office. And their Supreme Court let him out to run against Bolsonaro, who was considered the Trump of Brazil. And I'm wondering, I hope that something comes out. After seeing this, I'm thinking maybe Soros was funding, because, the Supreme Courts don't work the same way in other countries as they work here. Sometimes they're actually the ones in control of government and how the government's managed. In fact, I think Israel has a version of that. But I wouldn't be surprised if Soros was involved in getting Lula out so he could run against Bolsonaro. And I still believe that a lot of this money that went in there was being used to facilitate fraudulent elections around the globe.
And frankly, it's the coup machine, USAID. Part of the CIA's, yeah. I really do think it's part of the CIA's coup machine, and maybe we'll find out more about this over time. I hope so, at least.
Yeah, I think the fact that they hired Rubio to be our head of the State Department, I think that was brilliant because the guy speaks the language, and there's a certain familiarity when he goes down there, when you're speaking the language, you're of Cuban descent. And I think he's getting we're doing some battle down there, like with Panama today, going back and forth, but I think people are giving him a pretty warm welcome. And there are several left-leaning organizations in Central and South America that are getting together to deal with Trump and mass deportation. And I think this kind of plays into it, because if Brazil could be flipped again and get someone like a Bolsonaro in there, then you begin to build momentum in our hemisphere. And that's something that I'm focused on. I'd like to see that.
Very good. Hey, Matt, appreciate the call. As always, good thinking. We go to next line. Hi, you're on Open Lines Friday. Good morning. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Jim from Jacksonville.
Hello, Jim. What's up?
I just had a shady tree lawyer tell me that this might be a two-step taking by the insurance companies, the county and state government and federal government.
Okay, what that this might be, what is this?
It's called a taking.
No, I know that. No, what is this, though? You're saying that this is a taking.
Oh, yeah, the bill. I'm sorry. Both bills would constitute a two-step federal taking by the federal government, state, and local governments of private property.
Okay, now, Senate Bill 762 is not controlled by the federal government.
I know, but it eventually will be as it moves up through the court system.
Okay, how is this something that that your shade tree lawyer or your lawyer thinks that this will be a taking by the feds moving up? I'd love to hear this, please.
Well, he has previously prevailed in federal takings on water use and other kinds of impositions, mm-hmm. and there are precedents for this. And I know we're going to have to move through the state system, but I really believe that this is a two-step process between our colluded senators and the insurance companies to wipe out presence in the county. This guy.
Okay, how does the insurance company gain by wiping out the county?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just collusion, Bill. That's all I have to say.
Oh, thank okay. You. No, all right. I'm just asking if the claim's there. I'm just kind of wondering what the attorney says. I don't see any evidence that the insurance companies are there to buy up the properties. I don't see any of that. That's all. I'm just curious what that mechanism would go for. I would just remind people here once again that sustainable development, that whole globalist bent, is the official policy of the state of Oregon. And it's also the official government policy of the United States government. So maybe what Jim in Jacksonville says that has a point. It's all connected in one form or another. I know this is not Conspiracy Theory Thursday, but you can have at it and talk with me about it if you wish. 770-5633. We will be talking about election integrity here in about 10, 15 minutes, too. You're thinking it's all fixed because there's a different administration. Oh, no. Latest reports, though, are saying that we have a long way to go.
If you don't plan on cooking,